J1.
Number 15B.
Now we come to this point of unity. And this is to this point of relationship. And as we must, of course, understand then this relationship or our scientific unity with principle. And we must reconcile, or we can say, we must atone or unite ourselves with principle. And this, of course, is the meaning of atonement, where we unite ourselves with the one divine sevenfold principle. And this is a point where we come then to our method of union with the divine sevenfold principle. And what is our method of union with this one divine sevenfold principle? It's the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, resolving the I into the I am. Now, a few of us together have gone through these eight ordered steps in perhaps 4 hours' time. Others of us have taken a day. Some have taken a week. We could spend a year. We could spend forever realizing the implications of these eight ordered steps. These steps have been recorded by Dr. Max Kapler in his Brownwall Talks of 1969, and they're also recorded in his Ogunquit Talks of 1970, and we have also recorded them here in our Seattle class of 1973. But I'd like to just briefly let us together again go over these eight steps, just in a recapitulation way, quickly, to get a feel again of that really beautiful unity with the oneness of being or with principle. So I'd just like to step by step see if we can do this in a more or less brief way, in a rapid way. We know it takes a long time to do it, but just to get the tone. And so if we just sit back and more or less relax, I'll take us through these steps. And we begin by saying, okay, step one, all is mental. And at this particular point, we see that the mental is the cause and that the experience is the effect. So here we realize that my mentality or thoughts determine my experience. And at step two, we saw that the mental can be good or evil. Therefore, a good mentality is the cause of a good experience, and perhaps my bad mentality is the cause of a bad experience. So our rule is to watch our mentality, to hold our thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, not being allowed or tempted day by day to drop back into negative thinking, into critical thinking, into what we call evil type of thinking, but to always hold our thought to the good and the true, because if our thought is looking out from positive thinking, then we will experience positive results. And here at this step two, we ask ourselves, but how do I know whether my mentality is good or evil? Maybe I'm thinking evil and calling it good. What are good thoughts? What are bad thoughts? What are ideas? What are illusions? And so we come to step three. And we come to the point of thinking in terms of ideas. And it's actually at this point of step three where we have our synonym study. Our study of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, to determine what are ideas and to determine what are illusions. So, at this step three, our whole method of union is to go through the exercise as follows. We say then that I am the idea intelligence. When we're working with the synonymous term mind, we claim for ourselves that I am the idea intelligence. I am not the illusion ignorance. Or I'm the idea law. I am not the illusion lawlessness. Or we can say, I am the idea power. I am not the illusion fatigue, overwork, laziness. Or I am the idea of just idea. I am not the illusion of being an illusion. Or I am the idea of light or inspired thought. I am not the illusion of depression. Or we can come on to spirit and claim for ourselves that I am the idea of order. I am not the illusion of retrogression, disorder, chaos, relapse. Or we can say, I am the idea of pure reflection. I am not the illusion of deflection or an inverted image. Or we can do the same then as we go on with soul. I am the idea of definiteness. I am not the illusion of wandering and vagueness. I am the idea of identity. I am not the illusion of no identity or confused identity. I am the idea of spiritual understanding. I am not the illusion of material emotions and feelings. Or I am the idea of freedom. I am not the illusion of slavery or servitude. Or I am the idea of joy. I am not the illusion of sorrow. Or in principle we can say, gee, I am the idea of structure, of system, of relationship. I am not the illusion of fragmentation, parts, or atomistic beliefs. Or I am the idea of obedience. I am not the illusion of disobedience. And then in life we can say, I am the idea of undivided one life. I am not the illusion of many lives, before birth, after birth, before death, after death, because I am the idea of life, the one undivided life. Or I am the idea of eternal life then, of nowness, isness, timelessness. I am not the illusion of time and space, life and death, beginning and ending. And because I am the idea of life, then I am the idea of indestruction. I am not the illusion of destruction. I am the idea of multiplication and abundance. I am not the illusion of lack. And then in truth we can say, well, then I am the idea of being truthful. I am not the illusion of being full of error or lies. Or I am the idea of being trustful. I am not the illusion of being without trust. Or I am the idea of the Son of God. I am not the illusion of the Son of Man. I am the idea of divine consciousness itself. I am not the illusion of human consciousness, subconsciousness, unconsciousness. I am the idea of health and wholeness. I am not the illusion of sickness. And then with love we say, well then I am the idea of perfection. I am not the illusion of imperfection. I am the idea of completeness. I am not the illusion of incompleteness. Or I am the idea of loveliness. I am not the illusion of ugliness. Or I am the idea of plan. I have plan in my life. I am not the illusion of having a purposeless life. Now we come to step four. And in step four, it is thinking in terms of the synonyms of God. So, in step three, as an exercise, we just said that I am the idea intelligence. I am the idea law, power, force, under the synonym mind. So we go on in step four and we say, well, if I am the idea intelligence, and if I am the idea law, and if I am the idea power, well, then I must be one with mind. If I claim all the ideas which characterize mind, well then the next logical deduction is, well then I must be one with mind. And therefore if I am one with mind, capital mind, then I am not one with mortal mind. And the same with spirit. I say I am the idea of order. I am the idea unfoldment. I am the idea pure reflection. Well, if I am the idea order and pure reflection, if I am all the ideas which characterize spirit, then the next logical deduction is that I am one with spirit. I am not one with matter. And we can go on and do this with all the synonymous terms. If I am the idea definiteness, if I am the idea identity, if I am the idea spiritual understanding, if I am the idea joy and freedom and balance, then I am all the ideas which characterize soul, then I am one with soul. I am not one with body. And with principle, if I am the idea structure and I am the idea science and I am the idea government, then I am one with principle, and I am not one with personal theories. Or in life, if I am the idea of the one undivided life, of eternal life, of indestruction, of multiplication of abundance, then I am one with life, and I am not one with death. And truth, if I am the idea truthfulness and trustfulness and the Son of God and health, then I am one with truth, and I am not one with air or human consciousness. And in love, if I am the idea perfection, and I am the idea completeness and fulfillment and plan, then I am one with love, and I am not one with imperfection. And this impels us on to step 5, where we see that only the synonym of God in us can be one with the synonym of God. So in step 4, we say, I am one with mind, I am one with spirit, I am one with soul, I am one with principle, I am one with life, I am one with truth, and I am one with love. Well then, if I am one with all these, this whole sevenfold principle, then my mind, which is God, is my mind. The very mind, which is God, is my mind. The very spirit, which is God, is my spirit. The very soul, which is God, is my soul. The very principle, which is God, is my principle. The very life, which is God, is my life. The very truth, which is God, is my truth. The very love, which is God, is my love. There's no personal I left anymore. We are that divine sevenfold principle. And we go on then and say, well, if the mind which is God is my mind, this impels me to say, well, I have no personal I. And you say, well, at step 6 then, life, truth, and love is the I of us. So, therefore, if the mind which is God is my mind and the spirit which is God is my spirit, then I can begin to see, well, then I am all these synonymous terms. Then I see that this whole divine experience and activity of life, truth, and love itself is really the divine I. This whole activity of life, truth, and love is my I. And the more we go off into a little corner and ponder this, the more we really feel it, that this whole experience, this whole life experience, truth experience, love experience, is my I. There can be no other I, but that whole experience itself is the I of us. It is the only I. And at step 7, we see that the synonyms of God are the only I or ego. So when we see that this whole activity of life, truth, and love itself is my only I, is the only I, then we see then that the synonyms of God are the only I or ego. And then we can say, I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. And then at step 8, we see that the I is and the I am. So if mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the sevenfold principle, is my I, then I ask, well, what do I do? What am I aware of? And then at step 8, I say, well, I is. I am. And am being the first person singular of the substantive verb to be. So I, meaning the one ego, am, meaning infinitely being. I am infinitely being. I am principle, being its own infinite principle. We could just think of the vastness if we really claim for ourselves at step 8, I am principle, being its own infinite principle. Meaning I am mind, being its own infinite mind. Or I am mind being its own infinite spirit. I am mind being its own infinite soul. I am mind being its own infinite principle. I am mind being its own infinite life. I am mind being its own infinite truth. I am mind being its own infinite love. And then we can, same with the synonymous term spirit, say that I am spirit. And I am spirit being its own infinite mind. And I am spirit being its own infinite spirit. And I am spirit being its own infinite soul. And I am spirit being its own infinite principle. And I am spirit being its own infinite life. And I am spirit being its own infinite truth. And I am spirit being its own infinite love. And so we go with claiming all the seven synonymous terms as the I that I am. And you know, in the divine, we know what we are. These particular seven synonymous terms tell us what we are. In human experience, we never seem to know what we are. But here we do. And then at this point where we claim the fact that I am that I am, I am that sevenfold principle, our consciousness never leaves that standpoint of the I am that I am. But our whole power of consciousness, the whole power of understanding, makes a power descent, so to speak. And this I am consciousness stamps every level of consciousness. The I am translates itself to every experience. And so we can look out into the universe and see, well, I am that I am. I claim it for myself. And I say, well, what about the universe as it appears? And I say, well, the I am is the I am of all. Meaning that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the sevenfold principle, is the I am of everyone. Everything that is the one I am. Everything that exists is mind to love, is the one sevenfold principle. If this is true, then, that this I am is, that everything that exists is the I am, then we say about everything that exists that they are the I am, the whole I am, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole I am. And it's at this point where Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Because he knew that everybody we meet, we are always meeting the whole. We are never meeting a little isolated part. We are always meeting the whole. And therefore, once we see this, we see that there is no other I am and that there's no other personal I. All that exists is the I am itself. And from this reasoning, it can be deduced that the I am, or mind to love, or the sevenfold principle, is the thinker. Therefore, we can say that the I am's thought and my thoughts are identical. Why? Because I am that I am. And because I am that I am, I have only good thoughts. And we could also say, in a way, that we are the thought of God. Or we are the thought of the I am, or the sevenfold principle. Why are we the thought of God? Because we are God. We are that I am. We are that sevenfold principle. And again, I am principle, being its own infinite principle. And this is so simple, but the power impact of this statement is enormous. So with these eight ordered steps to the oneness of being, which we have just recapitulated in a very quick fashion, and again, which we should spend a day on, weeks on, years on, these steps, as we take them very quietly and slowly with ourselves, are our method of union with the Infinite One, our method of atonement and oneness with the Divine Sevenfold Principle. And this is the Christ consciousness, because Christ consciousness is that consciousness which claims its oneness with the divine sevenfold principle. And it's Jesus claimed his oneness in unity with principle when he said, "I and my Father are one." He had the Christ consciousness. He was called Christ Jesus. So we can, when we claim our unity with principle and say that I am the divine principle being its own infinite principle, then we can be called Christ. So we have then Christ Anne and Christ Jack and Christ Erlene and Christ Johnny and Christ Bob and Christ Mary and Christ Barbara and so forth. Because once we claim it, we are the Christ. And then we see that this statement in the Bible, Emmanuel, just means that God is with us, or principle is with us. And that this ever presence of ours with principle is Emmanuel. We go on then to the idea, another idea which characterizes principle. And we come to this one of universe. And this little universe word has powerful implications. It's big and enormous. Just when you say universe, I think all of our consciousness just goes out into the universe, and it more or less all of a sudden wants to embrace the whole. And so we say, well, what does it mean through a dictionary definition sense? And we see that the word universe comes from a Latin root meaning, which means turned into one, combined into one whole. So as Webster defines it, universe, he says, all created things viewed as constituting one system or whole, the whole body of things, or of phenomena. So this term universe indicates the oneness and unity of principle and its idea or image. In other words, it indicates the true relationship of all created things with principle itself. And as we have seen, the term universe means turned into one. So our true relationships, everything's true relationships, all the whole universe of created things, its true relationship with the one sevenfold principle is that we are turned into one with principle. We are principle. It's a universe. And that universe is principle itself. Now, when we come to studying Christian Science and perhaps Eastern philosophy, we begin to see that certain aspects of Eastern philosophy acknowledge that there is only one mind, and which is the infinite one. But one has to be very careful not to have a seeming feeling of being absorbed into an undifferentiated whole, into a mystical whole, into an infinite one. In Christian Science, we are always aware and make clear, too, that we state that there is one mind and the infinite one, but we stress the fact that this one mind, because we are this one mind, this doesn't mean that we lose our distinct and individual identity into some mystical whole, but that even though each one of us are the one mind, we forever remain distinct and individual, yet always are the whole. Then we come to this particular idea of harmony. And the word harmony has its root origin in the Greek word. And it means a joining and concord. And Webster defines harmony this way: the just adaptation of parts to each other in any system or combination of things, or in things intended to form a connected whole. Such an agreement between the different parts of a design or composition as to produce unity of effect or an aesthetically pleasing whole. Funk and Wagnall defines harmony, completeness and perfection resulting from diversity in unity, agreement in relation. And in the compendium we read on page 198 this: harmony means that the multiplicity of ideas stand in such perfect relationship one with another that they produce a perfect concord. So we turn to our illustrative material entitled True Identity, and we see that we are the one mind, diversified, classified, individualized, distinct, definite, unchangeable, obedient, eternal, whole, and perfect. And because in reality we all are the one mind, then we must reflect each other infinitely. We must identify with each other infinitely. Thus, in reality, the whole universe constitutes one whole system of harmonious relationships and interrelationships. And we say, oh, how we wish this was true, but this is the fact in being, and all that is necessary is for the whole world to drop off its false limited beliefs that everybody has a separate mind, beliefs that we are all fragmented, that we are isolated from each other, that we are at war with each other, at conflict with each other, and therefore because we are all isolated with separate minds, it's impossible for us to maintain harmonious relationships. That is the illusion and misunderstanding, because in reality we are the one mind, and in reality it's the whole universe is constituted of one system of harmonious relationships and interrelationships, and it's ours just through understanding. And we go on in the compendium and read on page 198 this: harmony is based on principle. Principle governs its ideas harmoniously and never brings them into discord with one another. So we turn to our illustrative material entitled Harmonious Government. And what we see then is that the whole universe is one complete system of relationship and interrelationship. And it is governed by the one sevenfold principle. It is governed according to law, order, rule, system, method, form, and plan. And as we know, law is symbolized by mind, order is symbolized by spirit, rule is symbolized by soul, system is symbolized by principle, method symbolized by life, form symbolized by truth, and plan symbolized by love. But together, they constitute the complete system of harmonious government. And so we will experience what we call harmony or heaven when we claim our true identity and live according to this harmonious government. This produces harmony. But we are on completely shaky ground if we base our harmony on wealth or material pleasures, and we can only be on solid ground when we base our harmony on understanding our true identity and letting this harmonious sevenfold government govern our lives.